Okay, just look at the date on your phone. It is February 11, 2026.
Right.
And if you've checked your 401k or even just doom scrolled the financial news in the last year, you know the vibe. It's uneasy.
Definitely uneasy.
The ground has really shifted. We are staring at a statistic that, quite frankly, shouldn't be possible outside of a global depression. In the last year, the S&P Software Index hasn't just dipped, it has cratered down
It's a
34%.
bloodbath. There's
Yep.
really no other way to put it.
And I want to pause on that number for a second because percentages can feel a bit abstract.
They can.
So when we say 34%, we are talking about $2 trillion in market value that has effectively vanished. Poof, gone.
It's gone.
To put that in perspective for you, that is the entire GDP of Canada or Italy.
Dude.
Imagine waking up and realizing the entire economy of Italy just got deleted from your portfolio.
It's staggering. And for people who've been investing on, autopilot for the last decade, this is a very rude awakening.
But here's the part that makes this deep dive so necessary and so confusing. Because while the software sector is basically burning down, we are seeing a number on the other side of the ledger that makes absolutely no sense.
The paradox.
Exactly. In that same period, investment in AI infrastructure hit a record $650 billion.
So you have a recession in one room and a gold rush happening right next door.
So that is our mission for today. We have to answer this fundamental question: is the era of software actually over? Or is this just a massive, painful market correction?
And we're going to dissect the anatomy of this crash, look at the specific sectors being replaced right now,
Not in 10 years, but right now.
and track this huge migration of capital from what you call tools to intelligence. And that distinction, tools versus intelligence, that's really going to be the theme of this whole dive.
All right, let's start with the crime scene. We're calling this the end of the golden decade. From what, roughly 2010 to 2020, if you launched a SaaS company, software as a service, you were basically printing money. You were a Wall Street darling.
You couldn't lose. That recurring revenue model was the holy grail for investors.
And now those darlings are taking the absolute biggest hits. I'm looking at the casualty list here. Salesforce, the giant of CRM, is down 42% from its peak.
42%. And look at Snowflake, down 51. Workday, down 45.
And these aren't speculative crypto coins. These are pillars of the modern enterprise.
They were the plumbing of the internet, or at least we thought they were. To understand why they're crashing, you have to look at how we valued them. A few years ago, investors were paying, well, insane multiples. We're talking price to earnings ratios, PE ratios of over 100.
100 times, which basically means you're willing to wait a century to make your money back.
Essentially, yes. You were saying, I don't care about profit now. I'm paying for your growth in 2030. It was growth at all costs.
And today.
Today, those ratios have collapsed to 20 or 30. The market is screaming, we just don't believe you're going to grow anymore.
But why now? I mean, interest rates have been high for a couple of years. We all knew money was getting expensive. Why did the floor fall out in the last 12 months specifically? A 50% drop implies something is, systemically broken.
It's a perfect storm. We've identified three distinct killers that all hit at the exact same moment. The first, and maybe the most overlooked, is just saturation.
So running out of customers.
Exactly. 10 years ago, moving to the cloud was new. Now, everyone who needs a subscription basically has one. If you're a Fortune 500 company, you already have Salesforce, you already have Slack. You can't grow 30 or 40% annually when you've already captured the whole market.
Right, you can't sell a refrigerator to someone who just bought one.
Precisely. And then you layer on the second killer, interest rates. We're sitting at 5 to 6%. When money was free, future profits were worth a lot. But when money is expensive like this, investors want profit now.
Okay, but again, rates have been up for a while. That feels like it should have been a slow bleed, not a crash.
Which brings us to killer number three, the one that turned the slow bleed into a hemorrhage,
The AI threat.
the AI threat.
Yeah.
There is a genuine panic-induced fear among investors that large language models, LLMs, are just going to replace complex software entirely.
Why pay for the tool if the robot can just do the job for you?
Precisely. Why pay for complicated software that needs a human to operate it when you can just ask a chatbot to produce the result?
Okay, let's dig into that. Because AI is coming has been the headline for 3 years, but now we're seeing specific sectors getting mauled. You mentioned Salesforce earlier. CRM seems to be ground zero.
It is. And you have to ask, what is a CRM really? At its core, it's a database, a digital filing cabinet. For years, Salesforce was king because you needed a central place to put that data.
But I've been reading about these new startups, companies like Relevance AI and Clay. They aren't positioning themselves as just better databases.
No, and that's the existential danger for Salesforce. Let's walk through a use case. In 2022, if you were a sales rep, you spent half your day inside Salesforce, manually logging calls, updating leads, typing out emails.
It was a glorified spreadsheet with a better UI, basically.
Right. Now look at 2026 with a platform like Clay. You don't log in to update records. You tell the AI agent, find me every VP of marketing in Austin, analyze their LinkedIn for pain points, and draft a personalized email. And the agent just does it.
So the software part, the interface where I'm clicking buttons, is gone.
It's invisible. The AI agent is doing the work. So suddenly you have CFOs asking, why are we paying $150 a seat for Salesforce when the AI is doing the outreach and just dumping the data into a cheap database?
If you automate the sales, you don't need the expensive software to manage the salesperson.
That is the terrifying part for the incumbents. It's not just a better tool. It's a replacement of the human workflow that justified the tool in the first place.
Okay, what about collaboration tools? I feel like this is another area seeing a massive shift. I mean, personally, I have Zoom fatigue, Slack fatigue, all of it.
We all do. And the market reflects that exhaustion. During the pandemic, companies panic bought everything. You had Zoom, Slack, Trello, Asana, Monday.com.
All of them.
But now we're seeing this massive consolidation. Why pay for 5 different subscriptions?
Especially when... and I've started using this myself. You have platforms like Notion AI or Coda.
That's the super app concept. Notion AI gives you chat, documents, project management, and the AI assistant all in one place. It's sticky. If I can do everything in one tab, why am I paying Asana $15 a month?
And that leads to this churn problem you mentioned.
Churn is the silent killer of the SaaS model. During the pandemic, companies bought way too many seats. Now CFOs are looking at those bills with a magnifying glass. Loyalty is at an all-time low. It's incredibly easy to cancel a subscription.
So your customer acquisition costs, your CAC, must be skyrocketing.
Through the roof. You have to spend so much money just to replace the customers leaving out the back door.
Is anyone surviving this? I mean, is the entire software sector just uninvestable right now?
There's one major exception, and it's actually growing. Cybersecurity.
Oh, interesting.
Companies like CrowdStrike, Palo Alto Networks, Zscaler.
And why are they immune?
Because AI creates more risk. Think about it. AI can write malicious code faster than any human hacker. It can launch sophisticated, personalized phishing attacks at scale. As the tech gets more complex, the security holes get bigger.
So a CEO might cut their marketing software budget, but they can't cut security.
It's the one line item that is absolutely non-negotiable. You can fire the sales tool, but you can't fire the lock in the front door.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so we've watched the software giants crumble. But like we said at the top, that $2 trillion didn't just evaporate, it moved.
It migrated.
Let's talk about the Great Migration. We mentioned that $650 billion figure for AI infrastructure. Where exactly is that money going?
It's going into the plumbing, the physical foundation of intelligence. And the biggest winner, the Standard Oil of our era, is NVIDIA.
Now a $3 trillion company.
More than that, actually. They're the gatekeepers. Their H100 chips were the start, but the new B200 chips. That's the new gold standard. We're seeing prices of $30,000 to $40,000 per chip.
And you can't even get them, right? The wait times are insane.
6 to 9 months. And it's important to understand why the B200 is different. It's not just about training the AI anymore. It's about inference.
Okay, break that down for us. Inference versus training.
Training is teaching the AI, you know, making it read the entire internet. That takes massive power. Inference is when you ask ChatGPT a question and it answers you. That act of answering is inference.
Oh, okay.
The B200 is designed to make that thinking process happen in real time, instantly. If we want AI agents to run our companies, they can't take 30 seconds to think. They need to be instant. That's what companies are paying for.
So we're building the brain to be faster. But it's not just the chips, it's where you put them. We're seeing these data centers being built that are on a scale. I mean, it's unlike anything we've ever seen.
The scale is hard to comprehend. A modern AI data center now costs upwards of $10 billion to build.
$10 billion.
And it consumes electricity on the scale of a small city.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a server room in a basement. Microsoft alone has earmarked $80 billion for cloud investment just for this year, 2026.
$80 billion, that's nation-building level of investment.
It is. And this brings us to the most critical part of this whole deep dive, the paradigm shift. We aren't just buying faster computers. We're changing what we buy entirely.
You called this buying intelligence versus buying software. I really want to spend some time here because this feels like the philosophical core of what's happening.
It is. Think about the last 20 years. You bought software, say Wix to build a website or Salesforce to track leads. It was a tool. You had to learn how to use it.
Right. I was the operator. The software was the hammer.
Exactly. You had to click the buttons, input the data, design the layout. The software was dumb. You provided the intelligence. Now with AI, you are buying the result. You don't buy a website builder. You tell the AI, build me a website for a coffee shop in Seattle. And it just does it. You are commanding an assistant, not manipulating a tool.
This changes the business model completely. If I'm a software company, how do I even charge for that?
That is the billion-dollar question. The old model was SaaS, software as a service. You paid for the seat. The new model might be service as a service. You pay for the outcome.
So if I use an AI legal bot, I don't pay a monthly subscription. I pay per contract it writes for me.
Potentially. Or you pay a much higher premium for the intelligence tier. If an AI agent can do the work of a junior lawyer, are you going to pay $20 a month for it? No. You might pay $2,000 a month because it's replacing a $100,000 salary. Companies have to switch from selling licenses to selling labor.
That opens the door for a whole new class of companies, these new unicorns.
And the speed is just unprecedented. It used to take a SaaS company 10 to 15 years to reach a billion-dollar valuation. These new companies are doing it in 1 or 2 years.
So who are the big players here?
Well, Perplexity AI is the prime example. They are challenging Google directly, valued at $9 billion now. Instead of giving you 10 blue links, they give you the answer.
I use it every day. I honestly can't remember the last time I Googled something complex.
Right. Then you have Harvey AI, $1.5 billion. They're doing high-level legal work for major firms. Or Glean, which is solving enterprise search, basically finding anything inside your company's data instantly. They're at $4.6 billion. These aren't just promises. These are real products.
And I have to play devil's advocate here. Doesn't this feel a little familiar? Massive valuations, burning cash, promising to change the world. Are we just looking at the dot-com bubble 2.0? I mean, Jim Chanos is calling this the biggest bubble in history.
It is a valid fear, and you have to ask that question.
I mean, look at OpenAI. In 2025, they generated $3 billion in revenue, which is amazing. But I read they lost $5 billion.
Right.
$5 billion in losses in 1 year. That's not a burn rate. That's a bonfire. How is that sustainable?
If this were 1999, it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But there are key differences. First, look at who is backing this. In 2000, it was small VCs and retail investors losing their shirts on pets.com. Today, the losses are being absorbed by Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta.
The sovereign states of tech.
Exactly. They have cash piles that are effectively infinite. They can afford to burn $5 billion a year to win the long game.
So you see it as more of an arms race, not a bubble.
It's both.
Yeah.
But think about the infrastructure. In the late 90s, we spent billions laying fiber optic cables. Mm-hmm. Companies went bankrupt, yes. But the cables stayed in the ground. And those cheap cables made the internet 2.0 YouTube Netflix possible.
So even if the AI bubble pops, even if OpenAI stumbles, we're still left with these massive data centers and B200 chips that will power whatever comes next.
Exactly. The infrastructure investment is never wasted. It just changes hands.
So if we look into our crystal ball, where do we go from here? What are the scenarios for the next few years?
I see three potential paths. The first is the revolution. I'd give us about a 40% chance. This is where AI effectively replaces traditional software and a lot of white-collar labor. NVIDIA hits a $5 trillion market cap. The old SaaS giants just wither away.
Okay, scenario two.
The New Balance. I think this is slightly more likely, maybe 45%. The giants, Microsoft, Adobe, they aren't stupid. They successfully integrate AI. The market stabilizes. We don't hit the crazy peaks of 2021 again, but we find a hybrid model. Think Adobe Firefly integrating AI into the tool, not replacing it.
And the doom scenario, the one the bears are betting on.
The bubble burst.
Yeah.
About a 15% chance. Profitability never comes. Energy costs stay too high. We just run out of power. Models plateau, and investors realize they're burning cash for nothing, and the market crashes hard.
15% isn't zero. So let's bring this down to earth for everyone listening. Whether you're an investor just trying to keep your job, what should you do?
For investors, the advice is caution with traditional SaaS. Don't just buy a stock because it's down 50%. It might be a value trap. Look at the infrastructure, the chips, the energy. That demand isn't going away. Or look for those AI-first startups that have actual revenue.
And for workers. the developers, project managers listening to this, learn AI is pretty generic advice. What does that actually mean on a Tuesday morning?
It means moving up the stack. The demand for doing the thing, writing the code, entering the data is dropping. The demand for orchestrating the thing is exploding.
So don't be the bricklayer, be the general contractor.
Exactly. It's about AI ops. Can you use GitHub Copilot to do the work of 3 developers? Can you manage a team of 5 AI agents to run a marketing campaign? You need to become the architect of the workflow, not just a cog in the machine.
That is a powerful image. We are currently writing chapter 1 of this story, and I think the ultimate question isn't, is AI the future? We know it is. The real question is, who survives the transition?
That is the only question that matters.
And as we sign off, just remember this, in 2026, adaptability is the only currency that really matters. Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll see you in the next one.